As we mentioned earlier in the show today, chronic pain patients can be challenging to manage. There are some data that show effective communication may be more important to chronic pain patients than pain control itself. Prior to the show today, we had the opportunity to meet with several primary care physicians and pain specialists about communicating with chronic pain patients. They offer their expert suggestions in managing these patients.
I ended up in the emergency room one morning because I was in a lot of pain.
I'm a primary care internist, and I take care of a lot of patients with chronic pain. Effective communication is very important. Important thing is to establish a good rapport with the patient so you can get to know the patient as a person, and that will serve as a baseline of gauging how much their pain is interfering with their life functions. I think patients have problem expressing the pain to the physician because, one, they feel embarrassed about it.
Not only the pain affects my lifestyle, but the medication I feel is...
Two, they are also worried that physician might view them as someone who's drug-seeking. So that makes them a little reluctant to share everything about their pain. Some patients are afraid to tell the physician that their pain had improved because they're afraid that the physician might not give in the pain medication that they sometime might need at a later date. The way I cope with that is being available to the patients and not be afraid to have a frank discussion with them when they come in. And building that relationship with the patient is very important.
Hi.
Good to see you again.
Nice to see you.
I'm an internist in primary care medicine. I see patients with all sorts of chronic pain. Very often, a patient has trouble describing their pain, and so it's helpful to give them some words. Is it a burning pain? Is it a stinging pain? Is it a searing pain? And often, they don't use your word, but it helps them to think about what it is they're experiencing.
Can't pain cause that?
Absolutely. Chronic pain is an inherently complex issue. It involves the whole body. At the very beginning, it's important to establish what the goals are in the treatment of chronic pain. One goal, obviously, would be the elimination of pain. That may not be a realistic goal. It's more than just the reduction of pain. It is the modulation of pain that becomes important.
So that's beautiful. That's 120.
Changing the pain in a way that it can be still present and still provide the patient with ability to function in their everyday life. Any physician who's treating a patient with chronic pain must establish follow-up. If you wait for a patient to return on an as-needed basis, they will certainly return, but they will return usually in a near crisis or in a crisis situation. That is not helping them.
Are you sleeping all right at night?
It's very helpful for a patient to keep a pain diary.
I think I'm getting about 5.
Is
something.
Is pain just keeping you awake?
Yeah.
As the pain changes, it's very important to understand what made that change. Was it the medication? Was it the physical therapy? Was it a good night's sleep? If the physician doesn't listen or doesn't find out what that was, then there's no map for continuing further treatment.
I'm a pain medicine specialist. Communication is probably the cornerstone of what is needed between the physician and the patient, and trying to come to a good diagnosis about what is going on with the patient, as well as establishing a very solid treatment plan.
Tell me how things have been going these days.
What I encourage primary care physicians and other physicians to think about are surrogate measures of pain, and that is, how does pain impact physical functioning?
The back is the only thing.
How does it impact time spent with family and friends and getting back to work? And I would submit that by measuring those indicators, we're going to have a much better chance of having an impact on a patient's pain than trying to focus on the pain score.
Yeah. So,
see, it's not bad.
No, it's not.
The role of antidepressants and anticonvulsants is an interesting area, and an area where there is tremendous misunderstanding and misconception. There are these classes of drugs that we now learn often work much better for pain.
That's been working now for over 13 months.
Some of the biggest misconceptions are related to the patients. When their doctor prescribes this medication, their first response is, but I'm not depressed, doc. I've got chronic pain. So there's often a lot of fear and resistance from patients on being put on this class of medication. One of the analogies that I like to use is aspirin. everybody knows aspirin. Everybody knows that at higher doses of aspirin that it works very well for pain and it works for inflammation. But at lower doses, it's a medication that we take to protect our heart. And so we can use that analogy or other analogies to help patients understand that these medications can be used for different purposes.
So you've responded well to that.
I think that the physician needs to go in having a degree of empathy first. Listen to the patients, ask open-ended questions. Try to get a sense of where the patient is coming from. Communication is so critically important in understanding what is going on with the patient, how has this pain affected their life, and helping us to guide, ultimately, a good assessment, a good diagnosis, and then subsequently a good treatment plan.
Dr. Raison?
Here you have these three very different clinicians, different personalities, their offices were different, they had different styles, and yet they had some commonalities that were very important. They were all very engaged with the patients. They were talking to the patients as human beings, not just as a walking diagnosis. They made a point of talking to the patient in language that the patients could understand. A couple of them mentioned the use of analogies and gave some interesting analogies. So again, really highlighting the point here that communication is so essential. And especially in chronic pain, I have some colleagues in Europe that have a program they call it deep learning, but they will sit for up to an hour and a half with a patient when they first meet with the patient with the chalkboard, and they will talk about this emerging science and the neurobiology of chronic pain and these sorts of conditions, and they won't stop until the patient can talk back to them in a way where they feel that they now have a common language they can share. Well, if you don't have an hour and a half, certainly it's very important to the best of one's ability to develop a language, a rapport, so you understand what the patient is saying to you when they describe their symptoms. And they understand, you know how to talk back to the patient in a way where you don't get a rupture of this sort of connection.
Charlie, I agree. I think that all healing arises in a relational context. And that what we see just from these brief clips of doctors interacting with patients are warm interactions. There's a feeling of respect. There's a feeling of open communication here. And I think that's incredibly important. I think it's important to set appropriate expectations for patients, not to oversell ourselves or undersell ourselves in terms of what we can do for the patient. I find that my patients often respond, Rhea, to my honesty about what I can and cannot do with respect to their chronic pain. Okay, I meet you today. This problem has been here for 8 years. It's unlikely when you come back in 2 weeks for follow-up that your pain will be zero and your functionality will be 10 on a 10-point scale. I often use a phrase with my patients, I'm not very good at fixing things, but I'm very good at helping things get better, to where I openly acknowledge that I'm unlikely to be able to fix every problem or every symptom that they have, but that I will work with them very hard to see things deflect in a positive direction.
You know, as doctors, we think our competence comes from knowing our medications really well or our surgical techniques very well or knowing non-pharmacological therapies very well. But there's one more competency we've got to get very good at. And that's what we saw just a minute or two ago, is incredible competency demonstrated. Competency at communicating, listening, empathy, humility. All of these are essential skills, and we have to bring all these to bear if we really want to help our chronic patients get well, ideally.
We've had a great discussion with a great deal of information shared. What would you say are the key points for physicians to remember in regards to better managing their patients with chronic pain?
What impresses me and what I think is very important for physicians to understand is that there has been an explosion of science that directly points to the fact that the mind and body are connected in ways that you really can't separate them. It's a false separation. Chronic pain is the classic mind-body disorder. The same pathways in the brain and the body that mediate physical pain also are connected up with the pathways that mediate emotional pain. So rather than seeing this sort of split between, say, psychological issues and chronic pain issues, really the science is suggesting that when we see people, because the pathways are wired the way they are, we should expect people on average that have a lot of physical chronic pain to also have emotional suffering. It's coming from the same abnormalities in the same systems.
Maria, what I would say is chronic pain is, of course, a huge professional interest for us, but it's also a personal interest. We have family members with chronic pain. We have, of course, patients and friends who have that very personal issue. It's a common problem. So I guess the teaching points for our colleagues listening to us would be the following. A, it's common. Let's not avoid dealing with it. Developments are happening fast and furious in this particular condition. Let's keep up with the literature. Let's look at this as a biopsychosocial disorder, and that every patient who comes to see us with chronic pain, let's offer them biological, psychological, and social interventions, because the evidence is out. The jury actually is in. They are effective. We can help a lot of patients.
Chronic pain is a complex disorder that doesn't admit to simplistic diagnostic categories or to simplistic treatment management plans. Yet it can be very satisfying and very rewarding to treat these patients because they're often quite desperate for help in reducing their symptoms and improving their functionality. And this can be one of the most exciting areas of medicine to practice today to help these patients to get better.
In closing, we'd like to thank all of you for participating today in our conversation about chronic pain, about the challenges in treatment, and about effectively managing patients who have chronic pain. We'd also like to thank you, our viewers, and remind you to go to your computer, log on to discoverychannelcme.com, and take the post test. It only takes a few minutes to earn free credit for this program. And if you'd like to see the program again, you can watch it online, download a podcast, or order a DVD. All the graphics and the references from this program are also available online. Finally, we'd like to thank the University of Virginia School of Medicine for accrediting this program, as well as Eli Lilly and Company for providing the educational grant that made this program possible. I'm Rhea Blakey for Discovery Channel CME. Have a great day.